This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Steve McRae. That's Kyle Curtis down below. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Steve. So that means you're the smart one and I'm the well-dressed one today?
No, not a chance. Okay. We already are having an issue. I need somebody with like microphone skills to help me out. I have literally today spent all day. I backed up my computer right to Carbonite. I put it up where it's digitally backed up. I have all my files and stuff. And then I wiped my computer clean and reinstalled Windows. And I was literally telling Steve before we started, I was like, you know what? It can't be we're not going to have any more microphone problems. I have reinstalled everything. It's not going to be an issue tonight. And literally right as we're getting ready to go on, Steve, what happens?
It actually went out like 5 seconds before we were going on air. His mic went out.
Yeah.
Like right.
So tonight we're going to be talking about something that's not controversial at all. There's no, really everybody's in agreement with this subject. Nobody disagrees. It's going to be a really nice, easy conversation. And then we'll go on about our merry way. Right.
Yeah. It shouldn't last very long. A few minutes and over and done. Yeah.
Let's get into first the two polls, right? So I put up last night following Lawrence Krauss. By the way, if you haven't seen the Lawrence Krauss show that we did yesterday, you have got to check it out. It was excellent. I had a great time doing that. And after it was over, I put up a poll where I asked, let me put it up here. Should the U.S. pay for reparations for slavery? Leave your reasons why or why not. And on Twitter, there were 260 votes on Twitter, which 66% said no, 12% said yes, and 22% said they were undecided. Then on YouTube, there were a couple thousand people that voted on the YouTube one. Let me pull that up real quick. The YouTube one got really, really like, I think there's like 300 comments on there of people just going back and forth. Like, it looks like Steve in his debates about atheism and agnosticism.
Those could go on for hours and days. Yeah.
But out of the YouTube poll, 72% said no, 13% said yes, and 15% said they were undecided. So they were roughly the same. There's not a couple of percent points differently. So I didn't think that it's just like the circumcision thing. The circumcision poll was the second most contentious that I put up there. But I thought this would be a really good conversation to have because there are a lot of Democratic candidates now that are talking about this. It's been a question that has been asked to, I believe, all of them, because the New York Times did an article, a write-up about it, and it seems to be a talking point. So I thought this would be something very topical to talk about and see if we can't see where we land on this. Now, I told the guys before we came live that I needed to address the elephant in the room because it was definitely not planned. I put out today if you want to come on and join this conversation to let me know. So I've been kind of fielding emails all day long and setting up who's going to come in and based on what their responses were. And lo and behold, it looks like we are pairing Team Black against Team White, but that is not done on purpose. So don't think that
Jared set up. Black, just equal it out. Jared, just go with that.
Yeah, yeah. So that wasn't on purpose. Okay, let's go around real quick and let these guys introduce themselves. I believe I don't know if you all have channels, but I know some of you have channels. So feel free to plug your channel and say anything else you like. And we'll start with Black Boy TV.
Hey, what's up, guys? Like you said, my channel is Black Boy TV on YouTube. I haven't made a video probably in like 3 years. I used to just make like video game commentaries and things like that. But then I had a kid and that was that, you know.
Yeah.
But, I was late because I had to put her to bed. But, yeah, basically that's it. I mean, I guess I'll say this real quick. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
What reason? Oh, no, I was just going to say, even though I'm in support of reparations, I'm not, nobody's going to get, like, a fierce argument about me about it, like, because I think it's kind of a pipe dream because, I mean, look at your polls, you know? It won't happen. It's not going to realistically happen ever. But I mean, I do have some ideas about the thing or whatever. So.
Yeah, I think a lot of it that might have to do with the fact that people when they hear reparations, they're thinking like money is being passed from the government down. But there are a lot of ways that you can do reparations. I briefly spoke about it last night, and I'm not going to. Going to be in the discussion, but we can kind of talk about that towards the end. But there are many different ways you can do reparations. Truist, let's go to you next.
Absolutely. How's it going, y'all? You probably noticed me from the comment section on a lot of videos you watch, but I just started my channel recently. I'll basically be commenting on politics and government, social issues. That's really my wheelhouse, but I also like to discuss religion and whatnot. I'll also probably do some music reviews. Love music. I'm a music guy. So I don't know. It'll just be an extension of myself once I start really pumping out videos. There's only a few up right now, but I plan to get busier in the future.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And then Casey.
Hey, what's going on? Basically, I don't have a YouTube channel. But I do watch you all shows, especially the debate on flat Earth versus globe Earth. So that's how I came in contact or being able to know about you guys. And when I seen this post today and read some of the comments about how they didn't think that reparations should be paid by the U.S., I just felt the urge to argue that point and. Hopefully, like I said, nothing will get out of line, but I don't think if being honest and logically, I don't see how reparations couldn't be paid to American Blacks.
Okay. And I look forward to hearing your stance on that. By the way, just out of curiosity, what's been your favorite Flat Earth debate so far?
The ones that involve, I think, what's his name? He's funny, but he's a pretty sharp dude. Red Rhetoric.
Red's
Rhetoric.
One I watched, yeah, Red Rhetoric. And the one I watched today was whenever, I think, Limitless Souls, when they was presenting their Flat Earth model. And Red Rhetoric pretty much shredded it. Yeah.
Model. All right.
You use that term in a way I wouldn't use it, but yeah, their model.
Let's go directly below him to and forgive me if is Schrodinger's cat, am I saying that right?
Schrodinger's cat, is your mic working? I think you're muted.
Yeah, you gotta unmute there, buddy.
I was muted. It's Schrodinger's cat after Erwin Schrodinger.
Muted and unmuted at the same time.
Okay,
there you go.
Got it. Schrodinger's cat. All right. Well, go ahead and introduce yourself, sir.
I'm Schrodinger's cat. I have a fairly new channel. Well, it's not a new channel, but I've just recently started putting some content up. I'm trying to get more active into the Flat Earth debunking scene. In the past couple of years, I've only been really active in comment sections. I'm a 22-year retired Navy officer. I'm going to get a microphone here soon so that my audio doesn't suck like it does tonight.
Sound fun.
Yeah, it's just the mic on my iMac is the only thing I'm using tonight.
Thank you for your service.
And thank you. And thank you for being fabulous. And
I do it again. It's a hard job.
I had a debate on your channel this past Saturday night. I hope I did well. I just want to make sure that we make it clear that tonight it's not about race. If you go to Jared's channel, AT2 Productions, you can hear me probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago screaming at a racist for being racist. So, let's just.
I think you mean to say that you don't want it to turn like a us versus them thing, because the talk honestly does center around race and racism in the United States. You know, that's the central point of this discussion, but I know what you meant. You don't want it to turn into a,
Right. I'm coming at this from basically a logistics, perspective.
Sure. Jared. Jared. Now you have to unmute Jared. Okay, we'll go to Ghost. There.
Come on, Jared. There we go. Holy shit. Okay. No, I hit unmute, and apparently the phone thought I double tapped. Habits die hard. I am Jared of AT2 Productions, and as Schrodinger's cat mentioned, I do host a weekly talk show on there where the panel is entirely U.S. and foreign military veterans. Couple times we do get active duty on there as well. We talk about just about anything and everything. My main intro to this community is bludgeoning the intellectually stunted with facts and history about the actual sciences that have gotten us to where we are today.
Are you running, Jared?
I'm actually walking through the airport trying to get to one of my machines.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then. Man, I feel you on that. I got stuck at the airport for 12 hours. It was traumatic 2 days ago.
Can you imagine that?
It was awful. All right. Yeah, 2 hours, I'm Ghost, done. Last but not least.
All right. Start off by saying massive respect to all the other participants. I hope that this, we can have a calm, reasoned debate about this. I know it's a charged issue, and I don't want anybody to think that that because I'm taking the opposite or the opposed side, that I think that the things that happened to African Americans in history in the United States were good or justified or any of that nature. My contention is that that it's infeasible. But as far as me, I don't have a YouTube channel. I'm a combat veteran. I served in the U.S. Army. I don't really have anything else to say about myself. I mean, I'm kind of just here for the ideas.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your service as well, and for all of you for coming in. So I guess the way that we'll start this off, and I'm going to tell the audience, like I told you guys before we started this, I'm sure there are going to be a lot of places in tonight's talk where people are going to want to jump in to address something that somebody says, and that's fine. We just can't have everyone talking at one time. So Steve and I will be watching the windows. If you get to where you have something that you want to respond to, just kind of shoot up your hand, and we'll let you respond to something that somebody says. If it catches you, just kind of keep it as brief as you can, because there's a lot to get to, and we have six people here. But as far as the flow of the conversation is going to go, I'm going to start with Black Boy TV and then work down and then up and then down and then up and then down this way, so that everybody kind of gets their stance out, their initial perspective or what they feel either reparations means to them, what that would entail, what they would like to see, or on the flip side, why it's not a viable option or something that can't be implemented. So Steve, do you have anything before we dive in?
The only thing I might add on real quick, Blackboard TV, I think your noise gate is not really cutting out your noise a little bit. You do have some background noise. If you can just mute when you're not talking, that would eliminate that problem. And then when you want to say something, just unmute. Is that cool? Because we've been playing with your noise.
I was muted the whole time.
Okay. Other than that, have that.
Well, you can unmute now, because we're going to start with you, Blackboy TV, and you can let everybody know where you stand on the idea of the U.S. Paying reparations for its role in slavery.
Okay. Well, basically, like I said, I think it's a pipe dream. I don't think it'll ever happen. But should blacks get reparations? I would say yes. I mean, it doesn't have to be like you were saying earlier. It doesn't have to be like a cash payout. It could be many different things. I was thinking of some ideas, like maybe tuition for school is ridiculously high. You know, black people are, you know, black people don't have, like, if you look, you know, and I'm gonna probably sum up what I'm saying through like anecdotal experiences and maybe like some facts and figures I might have read, but I just don't remember the sources. But it's just like, you know, if you look at like black families, like I read a thing basically, like if a black, you know, black families, when like someone dies, like a grandfather or a mother dies, they might be able to leave a couple hundred dollars to their kids, versus like when a, you know, an average white family dies, they leave maybe like 10 grand to their family. So and like when it, like I was thinking maybe they could give, you know, blacks, like, I don't know, maybe free college education, maybe, you know, we were promised 40 acres and a mule, maybe, you know, give us a house and a car or something within a certain range, you know. And then, you know, when I hear, one of the things that made me write that giant message that I had put, which you responded to me, you know, a lot of people's like, why do I have to pay for this? Why do I have to pay for that? And usually I try not to get into the race debates, because it just gets you into arguments, screaming at each other. But it kind of boiled my blood, because, you know, we didn't ask to come here. We didn't ask to be treated like, you know, like property, like mules to, you know, we didn't, you know, built this country on our backs and other minorities. I don't want to put, you know, push them out of there. But, you know, this country is built on the backs of us. And then once we got out of slavery, still treated like less than men, you know, disenfranchised, separated from, you know, drinking fountains, bathrooms, places to eat, getting good jobs. We were just, you know, being disenfranchised, if I'm using that word right, from, you know, from a long time, and it's still going on to this day. So it kind of just boiled my blood when I read that, because, you know, the country has billions of dollars to put in the war, like, you know, and going to the brown countries and stealing the oil, but you can't help out the black man that helped build your country. That's all. That's what pissed me off. That's basically why I wrote that big screed that I put on there, basically, you know.
Yeah.
So
sure.
Yeah.
And you know, let me address something in the chat too. I did open it up to somebody that's a Native American was more than welcome to be a part of this. Like I said in the beginning, I didn't situate this to where it was, three African Americans that were going to be. I just picked the best answers that I got back, and so this is not in any way diminishing that aspect or anything that happened to Native Americans as well. So don't get that idea, because that's not the case. If there was somebody that, you know, put that they wanted that voice to be heard and come on here and represent that, we would have gladly had them. Ghost, tell us why you don't think that reparations is something that's feasible.
Okay. So I have four main problems with the idea of reparations, the first of it being targeting. And that problem, boils down to how many, who of the black population would get these reparations. Is it based solely on skin color? Is it based solely on familial heritage? What about people who are mixed race, et cetera? What about people who have black ancestors but are considered white, et cetera? Also, the high expense. I was reading a New York Times article where the author recommended $35,000 per black person in the United States. And according to my calculations, that's if it's all black people, regardless of age, that's around $1.4 quadrillion. And if it's just adults, that would be around $1 quadrillion, which with the gross world product being around 85 trillion, that seems a bit unfeasible. Literally, it's an order of magnitude more than we have as a planet. I would be open to, also there's the idea of claim, which is in general, liability is not transferable. In some occasions, the children of someone who has been wronged can claim damages on their behalf. But we're talking 5 to 6 generations, and that's a very difficult thing for people to swallow, because the people who are currently alive had nothing to do with the things that happened in the past. Not to say that they weren't horrible. I would say that the children of these slaves had a very good case for reparations. But as that has been diluted through years and generations, it makes the ability to pay that debt back very impossible. And finally, I would like to focus on alternatives to, for instance, cash payouts or you know, payment in kind. I would like to focus on better educational opportunities for everyone, not just black people, and focusing on the areas that are hardest hit by economic depression, such as the inner cities, poor places in Middle America, in the South, and if we can improve these institutions and give people the educational opportunities that they deserve as American citizens, I think that will go a long way to turn the negative trends around. And other than that, I would say we also have a cultural problem, not just in the Black community, but in our society as a whole, that we need to correct in order to further diminish that gap. And
okay.
And I would also like to thank the Black Boy TV for his input.
Okay. And as you guys are bringing up these questions, I'm writing them down. So once we get through the initial statements, then we'll start answering some of these questions about, like, you know, who would it go to, that sort of thing. All right, Truist, let's go to you next.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, I had a view kind of like the one that was just put forth, basically doing things to help with education and things like that in impoverished areas, whether it be the inner city or rural areas, using funds to create opportunity there. But the more I looked into the problem, I actually started to support more of a cutting a check to the descendants of slaves. The reason for that was I spend a lot of time laying down and thinking about how can we solve this problem that we actually do have in the Black community with generational poverty. And I just don't see a way out of it without cutting checks. That's not possible. The way that we got to this situation where we have generational poverty, and that's poverty generation after generation, at this point it's been going on for hundreds of years, is to cut the poverty out. The only way to cut the poverty out is to provide the funds. You can do everything you want to do with schools and whatnot, but that's not going to do anything if people are in poverty, if the high schools that the kids are going to aren't preparing them for college. Giving them college isn't going to do anything. So I actually do support it. And I don't know the numbers. It might be the quadrillion dollars he was talking about. It's very possible. But I'm actually in support of some sum of money being cut to each and every descendant of slaves every year for 400 years. And I bet that'll solve the problem.
Yeah, we did the math. Okay. It's actually a little over $1 trillion, by the way. At 35,000 per person with 37 million African Americans, it comes out to a little over 1,200,000 or 200 million.
Oh,
excuse me, 1,200,000,000. So, yeah, so it's not close to $1 trillion, whatever that would be.
We definitely have that money. So, I'm in favor of every single person, every single descendant getting cut a check every single year for 400 years.
Okay, let me write that down. Just curious, how did we arrive at the $3,500 number?
$35,000. $35,000 was an article an article in the New York Times. I will find it and produce a source, okay. But I don't have it up right now. And I just did the math again.
I was just wondering if that was a specific number.
It's 1.7 quadrillion. No, you're right. I can't math.
Yeah, I did math. And I have a statistician friend. Wait, I have a statistician friend right now who did the math with me, and we came up with the same number. So
yeah, I'm a programmer. I can't math.
We can't math. Okay. All right. I think we're closer to the
my number probably trillion. Comes out to the quadrillion though.
All right, Jared. Okay, never mind, Jared.
Want to make sure that I'm heard, because I'm being kind and muting while listening. So, really simple, my reason for not being in support of the reparations really comes down to a question of where do you draw the line? While I do accept that there should have been something done to the immediate generations that were affected by it, again, the question is, where do you draw the line? Where do you punish the descendants for the mistreatment of their forefathers? And also, how do you appropriately determine who is going to be providing the financial support or whatever the methodology of the reparations are? The reason why I ask this is because, yes, I am a Caucasian male. However, that does not automatically mean that my forebears were slave owners. as both sides of my family did not immigrate into the U.S. until after the abolition of slavery. So my family here in the U.S., none of them were directly a part of the North Atlantic slave trade. So would it be, what kind of equity would there be for me to provide financially for something that I or my family had no part of?
Okay.
Other than what's already said, that is the main difference that I have up to this point.
Sure, and we'll get answered. We'll get a. We'll ask that question once we get these last two opening statements in. All right, Casey, you're up.
Got you. Well, my position is when you look at the African American population here in the U.S., I think you're hard pressed to find another group of people who has done more but collected less than us in this country. And I think the brother spoke on it earlier. When you look at the wealth gap between blacks and whites or any other subgroup here in the U.S., we're way behind. And that's a direct link to slavery. And what was mentioned before, even after slavery ended, we had another century of Jim Crow segregation. And during that time, I think the one gentleman said his maybe parents or grandparents didn't have slaves, but they immigrated over. But when they did that, they received and benefited from the social economic structure that was created, putting blacks on the bottoms and whites on top. I don't know where his people man came from, but any Irish or any people that's classified as non-black or white benefited from the economic structure that was created from slavery and in the Jim Crow segregation era, because then the era where a lot of the immigrants came, us blacks were still literally marginalized in every section of this country and economy. And from that, those immigrants, for me, knowing history, didn't help or try to come to the aid and help the American blacks. What they did was most, I ain't gonna say all, they understood the social structure very quickly, and they understood that whiteness would get you ahead in this country, and they assumed that identity, and with them assuming that identity of whiteness, they automatically put themselves above the American blacks on the social and economic ladder. And to the point of, I think the gentleman said something about who will we pay as far as targeting people of mixed race. I think when you look at the history of this country will let you know who you are and where you belong. A lot of the people who are of mixed race have dealt with racism. And with that being such, my position is I really consider them black. I know a lot of them may not, but in many, many cases, this country will let you know who you are. And another example of that is, that was a rule that this country made. I think in the state of Louisiana, the one drop rule was, saying you had that one drop rule, they considered you black and treated you as such. So I don't think it'd be very hard to really figure out who reparations is paid to. You just look at the people who still at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. And when you look at that, the majority are American blacks. And actually, the last thing I want to bring out, that'll probably be a whole nother show, but I will be willing to submit that there's not a problem in the so-called African-American or black community that doesn't tie back directly to slavery or the Jim Crow segregation area. Not one problem.
Okay. And, Sloan, just, excuse me. Flanger's Cat, you're up.
Okay. I can't find a whole lot to quibble about with anything anyone said. But here's my issue.
But you gotta go then.
I'm sorry. Say again.
You gotta go then. Your whole reason for being here is to quibble. I'm kidding.
Well, I'll try. So slavery basically started about 400 years ago in the U.S. So if you have everybody has two parents, and they have four grandparents, and they have eight great-grandparents. So let's run the numbers back 400 years. That means you have 40 ancestors. What's the chances that they were all homogenized in the same race? So where do we make, to whom do we make these payments and who pays? According to Snopes, in the year 1830, there were 3,775 black slave owners. And run those same numbers, so you have 9,690, nearly a million ancestors of African Americans who owned slaves. What do we do about folks who came here? Let's say President Obama. His father came here after the 13th Amendment, after 1865, when the 13th Amendment was passed, and his mother was white. Does he get a check? Do his children get checks? My wife went on 23andMe and found out she's part Nigerian. If we're going to go by the one drop rule, does she get a check? That's my entire point.
Okay, all good questions. Let's start with this question. And Steve, you can kind of work in here with me, and we'll try to get the conversation going. But and any of you guys in the support column, I'll ask this of you, and then we'll just kind of go back and forth. How would you go about figuring out who would get these checks? Let's say we're going to go with the money route right now, since that seems to be what across the board we agree on, that we're focusing in on the check part. How would you decide who gets the check and who is actually going to pay for the money that check is going to be cashed with?
Is the floor open to anyone? All right.
Yeah, go any ahead. Of you guys up top. Yeah.
Go ahead, Black Boy TV. You got it.
That's a hard, I'm not going to lie. That is a hard question.
Okay.
When you talk about just like if you're just going to cut checks, and like, how do you decide? I don't know. Maybe you could do a DNA test. I'm 80% black. 15% European, and then I got a little sprinkles of Native American, a little Asian around there. But maybe you could DNA test. Oh, go ahead.
That would be another question though, because I think where we'd have to start is if this was going to be a thing where you were going to give reparations to descendants of people who were slaves, of course, right? Mm-hmm. So. The question I think that the guys on the post side were asking is how are you going to determine, number one, that they were in fact descendants of slaves here in America, and two, on the flip side, how you're going to hold like the white people, the people who own slaves, how are you going to be able to tell that yes, this person did in fact is a descendant of somebody that owned a slave. Because like Jared said, if you're coming from a country that had nothing to do with it after the fact, then you couldn't hold them accountable. It would just be the people who own the slaves. So that just seems like, yeah, Steve.
Okay. Go ahead.
You're muted, Steve.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm trying to limit background noise. It'd also would it be a gradient scale such that a person who has 80% supposedly DNA or 100%, would that be the same as somebody with, going back to the one drop rule, let's say they only had 5%. Would it be something that would be a percentage of what the recreations would be for everybody, or does everybody get the full amount?
I'll go ahead and answer since I was the one that recommended cutting the actual checks. I think if you're a Black American, you're automatically in unless you can be somehow shown that you were not a descendant of a slave. And the reason why I did it that way is because the laws that promoted this segregation and slavery and whatnot, they didn't discriminate on whether you were an immigrant or not. It would have just applied to you if you were Black. So I think the country, the United States, our taxes go towards paying the reparations, and everybody is included unless they can be excluded.
Okay, so it's all or nothing.
But also,
and I was going to say, I don't know. Even with that, we're saying who should cut the check. The check should be cut from the U.S. government. I mean, when you look at it historically, it was something that was put on the table at the end of the Civil War, but later it was recanted by Andrew Johnson, who was definitely a true racist who didn't care anything about Black people. And he pretty much deconstructed it, all the gains, the minimal gains that was created during the Reconstruction era of slavery. So the checks should come from the U.S. government, because the U.S. government and the U.S. economy directly benefited from the free labor that Black Americans put into this country. And as far as who should get it, one of the things you could use is census, because one thing that I think we all can agree on, for the most part, everybody want to be Black but don't want to be Black at the same time. So if you use that census, people put on there who and what they are, because it's not a lot of benefits coming to you per se claiming that that you're a Black American. So I think that census will be one thing that we could use. And then another thing that I would suggest is even having families or the Black Americans here showing lineage. Most Black families keep pictures. We have family reunions and documentation from there that goes back several generations. I know I can, on my mom's side, not so much my dad, but I can go back 4 or 5 generations from my great-great ancestor who was in slavery but escaped. So I don't think that would be hard at all. And again, all we have to look at when you're saying who should get the money, when you look at the socioeconomic wealth gap, of people who at the bottom, it's Black Americans that make up the largest percentage of that.
I didn't know you were not finished. Please go ahead.
Right. No, I'm done.
I was just going to say, I want to kind of push a little into the or kind of clarify, I guess. When I said that, who would cut the check? If the government's paying for it, which I think we all, if we did go this route, it would have to be the government that paid for it. Obviously, this is going to come from a taxes. This is going to be taken from taxes. So the question is, how do you apply that tax so that the right people are paying for that tax, and the ones who don't need to pay that tax aren't. You know what I'm saying? So there has to be there's going to have to be a way that they can identify or separate a group of people that are going to pay an extra tax on top of their standard tax. Otherwise, everybody, you guys included, would just be paying a standard tax into this pot that you're eventually going to get back. You see what I'm saying?
I hear you, Colin. Yeah, I have no problem with that. I think I live in suburban Chicago, and recently there was a payment to the family of a kid that got killed by the police, and it was some several million dollars. The taxpayers of Chicago paid for that. It wasn't the police that paid for it. It wasn't certain people that paid for it. Even the people that didn't want them to kill them paid for it. They all paid for it. And I agree with that. I would pay in whatever my portion is to the fact that it's my country that did the evil. So I got to pay. We pay for the missiles that we use to kill people overseas. We pay for farm subsidies. We pay for everything. So I think as a country, we come together and pay for this.
And that's actually something that can be discussed too. I think Black Americans have a great case not to ever pay taxes ever again. That could be one form of reparations. But I know we just own the actual cutting the check idea of it now. But that's something else that that can be discussed hopefully later on in the show.
That's an interesting concept. Guys, down on the bottom, let's get you guys in here. What do you think about a tax exemption as a form of reparations?
Well, as a fairly hardcore libertarian, I think that everyone should be exempt from taxes, but you know.
winner.
Get out of here.
But would that include the would that include the 55% of Black individuals who are or Black households that are middle class and above?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I mean, if you like you said, once we see, I think y'all said the number was 37 million African Americans here.
Yeah, that's
who needs to receive those benefits. All other immigrants who maybe consider themselves Black are not a part of this reparations, in my view anyway. But I'm focusing on the 37 to 40 million Blacks in this country should be the ones to get the check or not ever pay taxes again.
Okay. Can I get a turn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So even if it's cutting a check, if it's not paying taxes again, there was a couple of ideas kicked around about some DNA testing and looking back at your lineage. On top of the checks or on top of the not paying taxes, who's going to pay for this testing and who's going to adjudicate this testing? Because if you go to 23andMe or you go to one of the other places, they don't match up. So who's going to adjudicate that part? Who's going to adjudicate if my great-great-grandma has a book that says that my great-great-great-grandpa was this dude, who's going to adjudicate that? And I just went on PolitiFact, and I'm looking at this right now, and it says, at the peak of slavery in 1860, only 1.4% of Americans owned slaves. But how are we going to figure that out?
Well, that's not counting. Well, that's counting the physical slavery. But you got to look at the impact on the U.S. economy slavery had. A lot more benefited from that. Matter of fact, all people in this country benefited from the economically from slavery.
I would disagree again. With that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go one time. Well, let's go Jared and then we'll go to Ghost.
Well, again, we're at the question of where do you draw the line? Because One thing that was not mentioned before, if you're looking at the financial responsibility aspect, whether it's cutting a check or funding additional programs or what have you, there is a financial side to it. If it is purely marked as the U.S. government paying for it, unfortunately, that means everyone is paying for it, which means you are getting your own people who should be benefiting from it also paying into it. As for the proposition for going tax-free, the problem with that is the amount of operational revenue that the tax system brings in for the federal government for other aid programs that are used by all people. And if you were to remove a large section of the taxable population in order to do this, you are affecting not just them in a positive way, potentially, but you are negatively impacting the entire populace who is responsible for using those other aid programs. So you got to be careful about what is suggested because of the potential unforeseen fallout in a negative fashion. Also, going to the DNA testing for determining who is responsible or who is going to benefit. If you do a proper DNA test for everyone, every person on this planet is going to have some percentage of DNA that traces back to the continent of Africa. So again, back to my original question, where do you responsibly and equitably draw the line?
I mean, you draw the line with the 40 million black people here. I mean, that's it. And as far as the, in my concern, I mean, my position as far as the tax, it could be a whole separate bill or tax that's put on the American public that doesn't include black Americans once, once the process is figured out on who gets what. Once that happens, all it has to be is a tax to the American public, a new tax. It could be, I don't know, whatever be agreed upon, a 10-cent tax or a dollar tax over 10 years, whatever the math is, that could be the money set aside that would be paid by everybody other than black Americans to repay the debt that is owed to us.
Then is
Hold on one second, Jared. Let's go to Ghost real quick. He's supposed to pop into this and we'll come back to you.
Okay, you said that the economic value of slavery built the nation, and I would highly disagree with that. In fact, one of the main reasons that the South lost the Civil War is because it was economically depressed, because it relied on slaves instead of investing in human capital. And any contributions that slavery had contributed to the South would have been lost before the time of Reconstruction. And I'm not saying that that their time and their struggle is not real, but I would say that making a strictly economic argument about their economic input is not the way I would go, because in order for work to have value, it has to meet demand, it has to produce something that people want. And post Civil War, anything that was created probably is not in much demand. Anything from before the Civil War is probably not much in demand, because the slave owners' plantations had been sacked for the most part. Any infrastructure that had been created was destroyed. And during the Reconstruction is when the South, the South was rebuilt basically from the ground up. So I would say that argument is quite flawed. Furthermore, go ahead.
No, you go. I'm waiting on you to finish before me or somebody else who may have something to say.
Okay. So also, I would say that increasing that it is to make a moral argument here for a second, which I generally tend to stay away from. But I think that you can't decrease inequality by introducing more inequality, whether that's, you know, anytime you treat one group of people different from another group of people, like in their rights, that's when we run into major issues. That's exactly how we got slavery in the first place. I agree. And where it happens, it should not. But treating any group of individuals as if they have different rights than another group of individuals is how we got slavery in the first place. And I think that introducing that idea into the modern day is a huge mistake.
Okay. I see you, Schlesinger's Cat. We're going to go to you next, but let them respond. Casey or Black Boy TV or Truist, whichever one of you wanted to. I know somebody was getting ready to talk a second ago.
Go ahead, brother.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You haven't spoken in a while. Go ahead.
Yeah, the only reason I don't want nobody to think, like, I'm just being quiet because sometimes I'm agreeing with the opposed guys on certain things. but yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I was sitting there thinking maybe we could help some of the blacks under the poverty line. I'd pay a little tax for that. I mean, I'm not struggling. You know what I'm saying? Me and my wife make out pretty well, but I gotta agree. What's the guy under me? What's his name?
Ghost Recon, right?
Yeah, I mean, I
agree. You can just call me Ghost. You know,
yeah, Ghost.
All right. I agree with him. Treating one group, you know, differently. That's how you got the slavery, but. I mean, unfortunately, you know, that stuff happens every day. I know we're still talking about cutting the check thing, but I mean, I personally would like other forms of maybe reparations that don't have to do with cutting a check or you know, fighting other things when it comes to inequality in our system in America. But go ahead, man. I just wanted to just chime in to say that little nonsense of mine. Mm.
I guess. Go ahead.
I was about to say to who's next? You gonna go next?
Casey.
As far as I think it was maybe Ghost that you was mentioning that that the economy what was in demand before the Civil War wasn't in demand afterwards. I think if you look at that from a economic and historical perspective, the foundation and the money has already been made by that time through the cash crops of tobacco, cotton, sugar, and the other indigo that was generated from slave labor. And when you say the North really didn't benefit from slavery, I will disagree with that wholly because that was really what the Civil War was fought about. It wasn't really fought for the freedom of Black Americans, hence another century of Jim Crow segregation that happened after slavery. The reason the underlying reason why the Civil War happened was for economics, because the South was starting to send their cash crop, which was cotton, shipping it out to other countries, mainly England, and not sending it to the American up north textiles that was built during that time, who was benefiting directly from slave labor. When the South said, hey, we not sending you all anything as far as the cotton. We can get our money from England and other countries. The North said, nope, that can't happen. You will be cutting us out and we won't have anything for our Northern workers to do in these many textiles industry, which led to the Civil War. So I disagree wholly with the North. Or the whole country didn't benefit from slavery. And the last point you were saying we can't treat people differently. That's how we led to slavery. I can't think of another way to put how Black Americans was treated than other than differently. And I think that's putting it very lightly. We have a very specific and horrific experience in this country. And we should be treated differently based off that Holocaust that happened. And I don't think, I guess all of you all at the beginning said you all acknowledge the wrongdoings that happened. So if you acknowledge the wrongdoings, and we know that the U.S. government failed to answer the call of reparations, the U.S. government did. Andrew Johnson, he's the president of this of that country at that time. I don't understand how the American, you say the American government now doesn't still have to pay that debt that is justifiably owed.
And if I can just piggyback off of what he said for a few seconds, as far as the economy goes, I don't think anyone has a better business plan than stolen land and free labor for however many hundreds of years that went on. If you give me a business and tell me I don't have to pay my labor or pay for materials, I guarantee you I'm going to have a successful business. So there's just no way to cut what was taken from the Native Americans and the labor that was taken from Africans of that time. There's no way to take that out of the equation. The other issue was who pays the tax. Again, in the way I see it, I have no problem paying into the tax that goes out for reparations. The same way I pay for money that goes to missiles, that the same way my property tax goes to the local school, I have no problem with being a part of that solution. I think that's why we're in a society together, so we can help each other out and pay for those sort of things.
I would like to a little rejoinder there. Just because slavery worked for the slaveholders doesn't mean that it worked for the entire economy. Sorry, that's all.
Let me go to Ranger's Cat real quick first.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I only need a minute.
Oh, you're good. Go ahead.
So we're talking about different ways to pay, but like I was talking about earlier, who could not find an African in his lineage? You're going to be hard pressed to not find someone. So where do we draw that line? So my proposal would be, why don't we just help impoverished people in the U.S. with our tax dollars, and then we all bro hug it out and leave here as friends? End of rant.
Schrodinger's cat. I'm for that too. This one is specifically about slavery reparations. I'm also for assisting people in impoverished areas as well. Also,
but the reparations part, it's a 35 variable equation. How do we do this?
I don't know. I think we have to first say, you know what, we're going to do this, and then figure out the way to do it, instead of saying it's too hard, we can't do it, and then doing something else. I think the first thing is to say we're going to do it.
I think we would sooner figure out dark matter.
I would like to
go ahead.
I would like to ask a question to the panel. How many people on this panel have owned and operated their own business? And I know I have. Has anyone else owned and operated their own
business? No, I have as well.
I've sold a motorcycle once.
Doesn't quite count there, bud. Well, the reason why I ask and preface that is because you do need to take a business mentality approach when looking at an issue like this. And I say that because it sounds like a lot of what's being pushed is exactly what Ghost alluded to, is an overreaction to the situation, in that you are trying to fix inequality with a complete reversal of the same type of inequality, where, hey, let's flip the tables completely, entirely, give them a taste of their own medicine, and then we'll work it out from there. Also, I thought about the business.
Yeah, you're going to have to hang on there, Jared. That's going to be a point of contention there. Go ahead.
It is, and we can circle back to it. I have no problem with that, but there was a second bit to the business aspect, and the reason why I asked is because the comment was made, let's go ahead and decide to do it and then make it work after. That is a recipe for failure. And anyone in business, anyone with that acumen who has successfully navigated a business through growth and even just maintaining, knows that before you make a major decision, you have to have a plan in place on how to make it work before actually doing the work to make it successful. Otherwise, you are going to set yourself up for failure. And when you have a topic like this and this sort of decision, if it's set up for failure, it's not a small scale failure. It is a massive impact.
Well, let me address that then, because I didn't mean that we should just go ahead and start issuing checks and then figure out how to do it. We have to decide that we're going to fix this problem. And then that's when you come up with the plan to do it. From what I'm hearing from the opposition down there is, we don't want to do it because it's too hard. I haven't heard any plans from you of how we could do this. And that's the problem. You have to, when you started your business, you didn't have the business. You had to say, you know what, I'm going to do this. And then you came up with how you're going to do it. And if you had just said it's going to be too hard, you wouldn't have a business. Also, I would like to know if you have a better business plan than free labor, free materials.
My business
once again, I'd like to
humanitarian one.
Once again, I'd like to point out that just because free labor and free land works out well for the slaveholder, it does not work out well for the economy in general, because the lack of human capital means that the economy will always be depressed. That's the thing, is you don't just build an economy by having a couple rich people. You build an economy by having a labor force that is highly skilled, and that is what was fostered more so in the North, which is why the South had such a hard time in the Civil War, because they didn't have the factories and the people that knew how to work in the factories to make the equipment.
They didn't have the Gatling gun that Grant had. That's what the difference was. They didn't have a Gatling gun.
Oh, Gatling guns.
Where do we factor in, because it was brought up earlier, I want to make sure that we include this, Native Americans. Are they a part of what, you know, let's say we reached a reparations deal. Are they a part of that deal as well?
That's what I'm saying. No. Nope. Just... Okay. You go
right
down this rabbit hole.
Right, so I was saying
no, they got their form of reparations, even though it could be debated at another time that is, you know, not worthy or not very beneficial or thought out, but at least they received something. So well,
how are they
in my position?
Well, I mean
some are doing good. When you look at those casinos that they're able to operate to where they don't pay taxes on that at all, and the revenue from those casinos goes straight to those tribes or communities. I think that's a pretty good deal compared to what Black Americans have received. We received, pull yourself up by your own bootstrap, get over it, and now the quote unquote level field, the playing field is level, and go about your business, which is erroneous to say the least. And if that happens, we will never close the wealth gap, because when you again look at the wealth that was created from this country founding up until the abolishment of slavery, then we ain't even got into the era of Jim Crow segregation, the redlining, the New Deal, which cut out most of the black population from working, all those people who classify themselves as non-black benefited from that. So I don't understand where, you know, you guys are saying that we don't know who should get it and we don't know who should pay for it. Again, look at the people who's at the bottom, and it's black Americans for the most part who are suffering. And this whole mixed thing, or I may have one black ancestor, that may happen, but for the most part of black Americans, that wouldn't be a big problem as far as who getting the check, because most black people know their family, know their lineage for the most part, and we all know who's black. I mean, it's y'all making it out harder than it really has to be.
Let me hold on, everybody. Let me see if we can't get to where we can be on a sort of a path. Let's say as part of this thought experiment that we have agreed as a nation that we are going to go through with reparations. Now the question is, what's the best way to do that? What's going to be the most benefit? Right. And it's not going to either bankrupt the country or cause, like, it with the taxes, the tax thing, the credit just wouldn't be feasible because it would have disastrous impacts on the economy. The check thing may be a route. But what about if we took, instead of a check thing, I think when you get down to it, for some reason, the issue sticks with people with the handing over of money towards people that that had nothing to do with the slavery aspect. And you know, I see with both sides of the issue. I'm not making a judgment call either way. But what if we hit a middle road and said, okay, instead of it going to individuals, you take that money and you invest it in the community with things like health, making sure the people who are impoverished have food, medical care, they have education, all their education's paid for. It revitalizes communities that need you know, updated housing, and what that will do is it benefits everyone. Not only are the people who are directly impacted by that, who live in those communities or who, you know, need that, but it also will pick everyone up as a whole society. You're lifting everyone, and everybody. I don't think there's anybody that wouldn't get behind that sort of thing. What do you guys feel about that?
I have an idea.
Okay, we got a nope. All right.
Here's my idea. I've got an idea to, let's say that you're below the poverty line. For medical care, we could have a system. We could call it Medicaid. If you're impoverished and you want to go to college, we could have a system. We could call it Pell Grants. If you join the military, they could pay for your college. We could call it the GI Bill. Things like that.
Yeah.
Is that Schrodinger's
so crazy it might just work?
You know what? I actually agree with that. That's why I'm in favor of cutting a check. Because I think we can do things for our society and lift all boats together. But we do need to address the issue, which was, and I looked it up, black wealth is 1/16, and a typical black family has 1/16 the wealth of the typical white family in the country. And as said before, that traces back through slavery, through Jim Crow. So paying for college for somebody that doesn't have good schools coming up is worthless. That doesn't even address the problem. What we need to do is cut checks so that these people are no longer in impoverished areas so that they can pay for better schools so that once they get to college, it's beneficial to them.
But that doesn't fix the schools though. Like you can I see where you're going with that, but you can take that money and raise their wealth and raise that. What I'm saying is the circumstances. You can give them the circumstances they need to get ahead in life and sort of bridge that gap. I don't know. My point is I just don't know that if you're handing the money to people, I know that I would blow it on like clothes and stuff. It wouldn't go to where it needed to be with me. You know, I would go out on like a shopping spree.
That's it for me.
I agree. If you cut the one check, yes, you're going to blow through it. But if, like I said, if you do it year after year after year, what you're doing is you're building a base for these people where they have money, they're able to buy houses, they're able to pay into their local property tax so that the schools can get better, they have better teachers, it improves the entire neighborhood. That way they go through a whole lifetime of good schools. That time, by the time they get to college, you have something beneficial for them. You're not going to address this problem without cutting a check.
We could do that. I said
for 400. I said for 400 years. After 400 years, we can cut it off.
So how much money are we talking about per month? That would be enough to. That would be enough to help people build a financial base. How much money are we talking about a month?
You know, I'm not sure. I didn't do the math, but I do know this. I work in insurance also. I know Ghost had alluded to insurance earlier, so I actually do have an insurance reputation to your – you can't – what do you say about general liability? But if I don't pay a claim, interest stacks on top of it. So the longer I don't pay that, the more that I owe. It's not our fault that the U.S. kicked this can down the road for hundreds of years, and then now you want to say, oh, no, we can't do it because it would cost too much. That's your fault. You need to figure out a way to fix the problem. It's not the injured's fault that you didn't do what you're supposed to do.
No, I see where you're coming from. However, when we're talking about the government is not this amorphous thing that exists. The government and the government itself does not have money. You're talking about taking money away from other Americans. That's in basically what we're talking about. So saying that it's the government's fault, and I don't get me wrong, I'm not going to start standing up for, you know, government because they generally don't do what they're supposed to do. But what I'm saying is I don't see where the moral argument for taking money from people who had nothing to do. You can say that they benefited from slavery. But I would say that they've benefited in as much as anyone else has, because this country has the highest standard of living in the world, even for some of our poorest. I'm originally from Eastern Kentucky, one of the most impoverished places in the country, and you know there aren't a lot of black people, but there are a hell of a lot of poor people, and to say that the people that I grew up around have benefited from this, you know, amazing wealth that's been created. Not really that much. I'm talking about an area where something like 40% of people are on government assistance throughout an entire region. The people who have kind of persevered and made their way to be able to say, no, you have to pay this debt to other Americans because of something that was, you know, because of something that happened before, you know, that happened six generations ago. That's a hard pill. Like I'm going to be honest with you. That's a hard pill to swallow, because a lot of us are just doing well enough to feed our families and stuff like that. So to add another roughly third to the federal spending, which is what it would have to be on the federal level, and tax accordingly. That's going to be a hard pill for a lot of Americans to swallow.
I agree. And I don't want to make this whole thing about taxes and government, but I think we definitely need to make some cuts in spending and spend money on the right causes. I think, for example, I use the example of the fellow that was killed by the Chicago police. The residents of Chicago didn't shoot that child, but they all ended up paying for it. I didn't knock down the Twin Towers, but I'm paying for the missiles that are used to kill people overseas. I don't go to school anymore. My property tax pays for the school. You know, I don't know what else to tell you. In a society like we have, a republic, a democratic republic, that's how it works. The people come together and they pay for things. If you don't like that, there's other countries that don't have that.
Well, I'm not saying that we don't come together and pay for things, but what I'm saying is that when it comes to wealth transfers, which is what we're talking about wealth transfers, that is a specifically difficult thing for people to swallow, because things like schools, roads, you know, national defense, whether we agree with the way it was used or not, generally, those are things that everyone benefits from. Everyone has an immediate benefit, supposedly. I will freely admit that I don't think everyone benefits the same from Chicago's police, because I've heard some awful stories. But I will say that, you know, for the most part, we collectively pay for things that benefit everyone. And taking money directly away from one group of people and saying, or and giving it to another group of people, that's gonna create a lot of strife, and I don't know that it would even be effective in the first case. I would also question the effectiveness of just giving people money. I think investing in infrastructure that they benefit from is a much better choice, because it also helps the helps people of any race that are in the same socioeconomic state. I would not be opposed to, first of all, we need to get rid of some of the crap we pay for as a country, but I would say, you know, take that money, invest it into whatever, man. But take that money, and invest it in schools, in communities where we can foster, you know, the right type of decision making to help people stay out of poverty. I mean, even if you look at the Brookings Institute, they did a study a while back and found that there's like four things that people have to do to join the middle class. And they're pretty simple things, but they're things that we, you know, as a country screw up on a lot. You know, things like, you know, don't have kids before you're married, or don't get married before a certain age. You know, get a job and keep. Well, sorry. If you get married, definitely don't get divorced, right?
Yeah.
But.
That's how we should, Steve. Yeah, you should have brought
that. You could have told me that years ago. Thank you.
No. Steve, we should have brought Jesse Lee Peterson in for this.
I wouldn't exactly call the Brookings Institute like anything close to right wing, but you know what they found is, you know, these simple behavioral patterns that people can follow and build their own human capital. And if we can foster those ideals, I think that a lot of these problems are going to go away within a generation. And I think it will be a lot more productive to find ways to foster those attitudes than just simply either cutting people checks or targeted redistribution in any way. I think that those things are going to be – they're going to cause a lot more strife where, you know, like I said, if we invest in infrastructure that will bring all people of lower socioeconomic status up, it's going to be a lot better. And I don't think you're going to have to. I don't think you're going to have. Say again.
I want to add on that when you're done. Okay.
Go ahead. I muted already.
You actually took a lot of words out of my mouth, which was surprising because most people can't do that. I do agree with you on a lot of things. One of the things I kind of wanted to note is that in my history, and I'm probably one of the oldest one here because you guys all look like your kids. Jared may be a little up there, but he's probably the closest. But I've noticed in history,
way money a very old-looking eagle.
Have you seen him in real life? Yeah, he looks like a 12-year-old Sharpay walking backwards. Okay.
Oh, I'm kidding. Damn.
I love you too, Steve.
But you never solve a problem by throwing money at individuals. Individuals are not competent enough of any kind to get money and do something productive with it to solve an issue. We've seen this happen. It doesn't work. I think throwing something to an infrastructure is a more viable solution if there was a solution. Now, I'm on record as I'm against reparations, but the reasons being is that here's the thing. These happened about six generations ago. I'm Jewish, and of course, we all know the Holocaust was about three generations ago. So this was twice the amount of time from when the Holocaust occurred. It's assuming about 25 years per generation, give or take. I would not expect any kind of reparations from the Germans for my family being, you know, killed in the Holocaust. Now, I don't know if any of them were. I'm sure there were, but I don't know any of their names. They're not influencing me. I have no ties to them. There's just nothing in my life that I feel I am owed because of what happened in Nazi Germany, just because my ancestors happen to be Jewish. And this was, again, only three generations ago. So it would be less watered down and diluted as opposed to six generations ago. I don't think there's really a way at this point, six generations later, to make any of this feasible. I know it sounds great, but it is impractical. It's infeasible. And I think one of the things that somebody had noted, I don't know if it was, I think it was Ghost, it adds more to racial tensions. When you have a class of people that has selective advantages or disadvantages over anybody else, that is never going to provide equality or we should have someone had equity. I agree with that. You know, there is disadvantaged classes, but the goal is eventually have some kind of equality, not just equity. And so by giving people individual money, you're not giving them equity. What you're doing is you're just giving them money. Equity be going through social things. Kyle suggested some very good ideas. I don't think any people would have too many problems with those. I know, who was it? Casey, you had some issues with it, but
he just said, no, I flat out. No.
And I love the way he did it. He was so firm about that. He's like,
nope.
But, not happening. But I think that that's kind of a happy middle ground median if somebody's going to try to get some kind of reparations. But can you understand from like my point of view, I don't get it because I wouldn't want anything for what happened, you know, if we're only three generations ago to the Jews, because I don't feel like I'm entitled to anything. I don't think I'm owed anything.
Just yeah, but Steve, the Jews own everything.
Hey, can I chime in?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm the loudest Jew in the world, man. I'm not, you know, so.
Yeah. Please go ahead.
Mazel tov.
Yeah. I kind of agree with Kyle. I think we should be putting it in the schools and putting it in, like, you know, fixing up the black community.
Yeah, I wouldn't have an issue.
Because like Steve said, people are incompetent. Because, I mean, you brothers know, if he was cutting checks every week, people would go getting gold teeth and Cadillacs and chains and making... Yeah,
I'm gonna hookers and blow. I'm telling you, that's it for me. I'm good with that.
Dave Chappelle did a whole documentary about this.
Yeah,
you got people that win lottery. They win millions of dollars. Look at literally, there are people that win millions of dollars that are broke.
Let him finish. Let Black Boy finish, and we'll go to Black Boy TV. Finish, and we'll go to.
I'm just saying. I mean, we all know people who live in hood rich, you know, and they can't even afford their rent, but they got Gucci shoes on. So you cut them a check every month, and you know all they're gonna do is be making rich people that's already rich even more richer with that money. We need to put it in the community, in the schools, teach these people something so they can start building businesses and putting money into the black community. Because all they're gonna do is put money into everybody else's community. That's what I was gonna say.
Okay, Casey.
I cannot agree anymore.
Hold on. We're going to go to Casey, and then we'll go down to you, Casey.
Gotcha. I think I had a few comments on. I think Ghost was saying that the U.S. has the highest standard of living in the world, and I will submit that happened as a direct result of the 200 to 300 years of free labor that happened in this country. If you look at it from a historical economic perspective, it's no coincidence that the Industrial Revolution happened in the Western nations at the time where slavery was the highest. So with that being a fact, the direct benefit of why America is where it is today is owed to the Black American, period. Even like you said, in Eastern Kentucky, like you said, you have a lot of poor working class white people who maybe came afterwards or who just making it check to check, but they're still benefited from the socioeconomic structure of the U.S. And that benefit is directly linked to slavery. And I don't think any one of us can doubt that. Now, with the issue of you all saying that, you know, they cut checks, you know, many of us would be mishandled the money. That's a story for another day. That has some truth in it, but I think we're discussing the issue, should that money be paid, or should reparations come in another form if it's not cutting the check? And I think, like I said before, there's not a people in this country who has did more and collected less than a black American. If you all can think of another group that has, I will definitely love to hear that. And then lastly, again, with the immigrants, I said before, they came into this country and benefited from the economic structure that was already created. And that economic structure was given to the people who classified themselves as white and denied from people who they classified as non-white. And those Irish, Italians, English, or France, Spanish, when they came here and saw the economic structure and how it was set up, where whiteness got you advantages and being non-white got you disadvantages, they understood that concept and got with it quickly. And that happened at the expense of us. So, and from my perspective, they all should pay, because they benefited and still benefited from the economic progress that was created from slavery.
And before we go back to the opposition, I wanted to address something Steve said earlier about how long ago it was. I'm 37 years old. When I was 2, 3, 4, I was babysat by my great-grandmother. I'm sorry, my great-aunt, okay? My great-aunt was born to slaves. It wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago at all.
Hmm. No, it does go back.
That is true, because we had Jesse Lee Peterson on here, Steve, the other day, that was telling the stories about when he was on.
He's still a slave.
That's still a form. I still consider that a form of slavery.
He definitely is. you asked about other groups. I mean, obviously the Chinese were slaves too. The Irish had problems. Not to the extent, obviously, but if you're going to have reparations for one, you're going to have reparations for all. It really gets to the point where it's so diluted that it wouldn't be beneficial. I mean, the number of 35,000 per person is just absolutely mind-bogglingly insane. I really think that if there's going to be something along those lines, it should be for infrastructure and it should be for education. I'm more concerned, to be honest, of these things not happening again. I don't want to see slavery again. I don't want to see the Holocaust again. I want education. I want people to be smart enough to know the ethical concerns with these things, how horrific they are. And as a society, we should never, ever, ever allow them ever to happen again. I'd rather have that money funneled into something like that, because I want my daughter to live in a society where that shit doesn't happen and people don't even give a crap any longer. They're like, we're people, we're different colors, we will not forget the past, and we will not allow it to happen again in the future.
I'm happy, G-Man.
But man, see, the problem, I'm going to say, God, one of the problems.
Why?
Did you go there?
Hold on. I've been watching that man for 6 years.
That would be a great debate. Would be G-Man and Jesse Lee Peterson.
I just wanted to say I was tempted to start playing Gap Band's "You Dropped the Bomb on Me" when he said that. Why'd you bring up G-Man?
You get a strike. Challenger's Cat.
Right. Go ahead and, I've been trying. I didn't want to butt in, but. So I work for a defense contractor, and whenever we are thinking about taking on a new contract, we do something called a feasibility assessment. And I just don't think the feasibility assessment for reparations would work. So I agree with what Steve was saying. We just need to target our efforts to groups of people, not groups of races. So if there's a school system that's failing, then we get some experts to go there, figure out what's wrong, and fix it. If there's a transit system in another community that's failing, we send some people there and fix it, etc. And then we all leave here.
We've got to wrap here, because we're hitting hard on time, and I've got a bunch of super chats to read. But I think the first step in sort of healing anything is talking about it. And I'm really impressed by the way that all of you guys handled this conversation. This is a very difficult conversation to have. It's not easy. It's very, it touches a raw nerve, but I think you guys did a fantastic job of doing that. I couldn't be any happier with the way that this went. I think Steve would say the same thing. This was a fantastic,
very good
discussion. Very, very good. Talking about it goes a long way.
Kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deleting off to that. Poor guy.
Before I start
moving statement.
Yeah, I was going to say before I read these super chats, does anybody have anything that they would like to say to sort of wrap up? Any thoughts that they have?
I'll just say something real quick. I mean, sure. like you said, I'm happy that everybody just was civil, and I know this can be a contentious subject. I personally, I'm black, but I kind of just don't even look at, we're all the same race, like I can have a baby with pretty much any woman, I know that sometimes I might walk down the street, someone looks at me and sees a black guy and gets scared. I'm kind of like TJ. I'm kind of a misanthrope. So I kind of just don't give a fuck about people in general. I just worry about my group. But when it comes to just us, that, like the human race, man, we all got to come together and fix all the bullshit, together. Like, trying to segregate things ain't going to help anybody, in my opinion, I love you all.
Well, we love you too, but you make a comment about being a black guy and scaring people when you come up on them. But let me tell you what really scares people. I'm from North Carolina, which is in the South, right? And whenever I fly somewhere, I always wear like the most, the loudest and the like just florally shirt possible, because there's nothing better than watching people's faces when you're walking down that narrow walkway in the plane where people are sitting down, and everybody and all the guys' faces are just like, please don't let him be sitting next to me. Please don't let him be sitting next to me.
Women do that the same thing to me.
Oh, it's hilarious to watch it. Like, oh man, don't let him be sitting over here. Yeah. I overdo it. Okay, anybody else have anything? Any last?
I'd like to say one thing, and I would much prefer that we could get to a point where people are treated based on their, in all things, based on their actions and their character, as opposed to what their heritage is. Because when we start breaking people to their heritages, and this group and that group, we lose. And I think as a country, we're a large collection of individuals, and when we couch it in those terms, intractable problems start to become a lot more tractable, because if we are constantly concerned about this group versus that group, we're just dividing ourselves, and we're never going to move forward as a society until we can come together as the brotherhood of humanity and the brotherhood of this nation, until we can look at each other as brothers, no matter what our heritage is, no matter what things have happened in the past. You know, we need to move to that point. And that's if I can leave anything for people out there, like, that's where we need to be, is we need to treat people as we would like to be treated, but also treat people as their actions deserve. Like, I don't care what color someone is or what heritage or where their ancestors are from. If they're a good person, they're a good person. And that's all that matters to me.
Okay. Casey?
That. Yeah. I was ready to say that a lot of the things that you guys proposed, as far as, like, when you were saying just due to schools in the poor areas or the transit, or anything like that, that's fine. I really don't have a problem with that in and of itself, but we're not talking. If we did that, that would be helping people other than the Black Americans. But when it comes to U.S. slavery and reparations, it's a very specific population that needs the redress. And with that population, it needs to go to them and for them only, because they were the ones who suffered, you know, that horrific time in history. So I really wouldn't be for that, because it would end up benefiting everybody again except us. And we know historically, when stuff like that happens, everybody else benefited from the work that we actually put in, and that can actually be documented with the civil rights movement. I think women and other minorities end up benefiting more for the actual work, blood, and sacrifice that we put in due to that. So I would be highly against us doing it just in poor areas, because we looked at that before and that wouldn't benefit us directly. Because my position is U.S. slavery was very specific to a very specific group of people, and those are the people who should receive those reparations or benefits. And hopefully we can have another discussion and you all invite me back, because this definitely just got the ball rolling, and we definitely need a part two.
Sure. Anytime.
All right. My turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm glad that this didn't turn into a dumpster fire. I love a good dumpster fire on Non Sequitur. I had one this past Saturday. But this was not the subject to turn into a dumpster fire, and I'm glad that it didn't. I've been begging Jared to get Steve to come on our veterans show on Fridays. If you would show up one Friday, or I just put my email in the side chat, I'd love to pick your brain on a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do so. I've been meaning to. That is my fault. I may not be able to this Friday. I might have some cool plans. But next Friday, after that, maybe. Yeah. I'll definitely try to make it happen.
Yeah. Or email me.
Two things.
I've got a few ideas. I just want to talk.
I got to earn them shekels this Friday. Yeah.
He's doing Jew things on Friday. Anybody else?
I'm part Jew. That's the screaming match that I had on his channel was with an anti-Semite.
You're just trying to take up everything. You're
you're trying to hit all those minority points that you can, huh?
Truest,
hold on. I'll put a yarmulke on right now. I don't care. I'll put a yarmulke on. I'll light a menorah.
All
right.
I go ahead and do it.
And I just the audience.
Hang on, everybody.
Everybody. I'm on the microphone. I just wanted to partially agree with what Casey said. You kind of have to go back to who did slavery and Jim Crow and the subsequent laws that we had in this country really affect who were they made to actually bring down, and it was black people. And I think the only way to address this 1/16th amount of the wealth is specifically, you have to address it the same way that it was caused, and that would be to specifically target certain people to fix it. Other than that, I mean, I agree with everything else everyone else said as far as problems with poverty and addressing infrastructure and schools. I'm all for it. I'm all for both of that. I'm all for Native Americans getting what's rightfully theirs as well. You can't just kick hands down the road long enough to the point where we say now it's too late. So you got to start addressing the problem.
Ended the drug war, real quick, too.
Steve?
Real quick.
End the drug war. We can all agree that.
Yeah, the drug war was a waste of time. Who likes Manischewitz?
Okay, super chat time. All
right. I also wanted to say, Steve, you don't know what atheism is.
You win tonight. Hey, hold on, everyone. Can everyone in the live chat?
I was starting to like him too.
Stop and let us revel in this moment. Everyone in the live chat is thunderous applause. Thunderous applause.
I should have a note on that. I am having a nice formal debate on May 10th on Modern Day Debates channel with a guy named The Duke is the Man on that very topic. Please join in because I'm going to demolish him. Have fun.
Gee, I wonder where you come down on the subject. Okay, super chat time. Jim Majors, thank you for the super chat. The only reparations that need to be issued is equality and the continued education of the plights of slavery as a stark reminder of the inhumanity against our fellow humans. I will try to go through these quickly. So unless you have like a really burning desire to respond to one of these, we're going to kind of go through them because I have another hangout that's supposed to be in 30 minutes. Takara Reeve says, it's not just slavery. There's Jim Crow and redlining. Takara Reeves also says, so do we disregard the issue? Like it doesn't matter what happened to an entire group of people that is still affected to this day by policies influenced and enacted because of slavery and Jim Crow, et cetera. Are they? No audio? Are you guys hearing me?
I can hear you.
Oh, people in the live chat are telling me no audio. Why are you doing that live chat? That's me.
Those people. It's the CIA.
I can hear you. So Kuyasa says reparations require involved parties to be specifically defined and identified. How do you define and identify victims of slavery? Set up an arbitrary DNA percentage to count as descendants of victims. We talked about that. If you join us late, you can certainly pop back and watch that again. Outside the Cube says, I wasn't alive during World War II, but I pay reps to Jews today. Oh, Steve, you got some money coming in? Let me find out.
Damn, I got some shekels coming in. Damn, yeah.
Puffaluffica says... Post Reconstruction, still highly influential plantation owners got their lands returned to them by DC heralding in sharecropping, aka slavery 2.0. Johnny V, what the heck is white? It's a Johnny. That's a color, opposite of black.
It's every color.
It's every color.
All colors.
Willie Mays fan, what about those who fought and died to free slaves? Are their ancestors exempt from paying? If not, why not? P.S. God bless you all. Any of you guys want to answer that?
What they pay just like we all pay.
It's the same thing. It's a 35 variable equation.
They're asking the people who died and I guess he's asking the white, if there's any white people who fought and died to free slaves, like, you know, whether it be part of the Underground Railroad or, you know, smuggling slaves across.
You have to factor that into the whole thing. That's what I mean.
No, they pay. I pay. We all pay.
No.
Okay.
No, they don't factor that in.
Okay.
All right.
So, so with that train of thought, would you want to pay for something you had absolutely no part of?
We can't. Yes. We are not opening this debate again, gentlemen.
If I benefited directly or indirectly,
get back in your corners. we will do this again. Mike McAthea says no one that would get it was a slave. That's a fact. My wife is Native. Her tribe is full of lazy men due to the fact that they can get a free check and land. There's no initiative or incentive to work. Slavery is bad. Got it.
I want a free check and land.
Yeah. Right.
Bailey says, Hopsukwapa Hawker Kiki. I just wanted to hear you say and read this. LOL. Well, there you go, Bailey. Sitha, really enjoying hearing. Yeah. I'm really enjoying hearing both sides of this debate. Kwasa, where's my dumpster fire? Damn it. Shock face. Speed Knob did not leave a message, but thank you for the super chat. And finally, Mike McAthea says, free college, health care, and reparations, money sign, question mark. Yes to all of those. And you can actually get those if you vote for Bernie in 2020.
If he's still alive.
Oh, God, I was going to say that.
Just saying.
I got a question. Can I ask you a question, Kyle?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think G-Man would be before or against reparations? Because he didn't see nothing wrong with slavery.
G-Man would be that's a hard question to ask. I think because it would it would be like – I think he would use that situation to play for his advantage. But any other time when it's not convenient for him, then he's totally fine. I literally heard this man say, I would have no problem being a slave for somebody today. And just to hear that is
the way I look at it, because I've known G-Man probably just as long as you have, six years. He would be probably pro reparations, but at the same time acknowledging that there wasn't a problem with slavery because he has no problem with contradictions. I think that he'd probably have no issue with it, especially with the fact that he's like almost homeless and I think he'd definitely be needing the money. He doesn't understand the problems with that. Like, yeah, I'm fine with reparations, even though nothing wrong with slavery. It's morally just fine because the Bible.
He loves to be pro-black when it counts for him. You know?
Can he revoke his black card? Is that what you take away from him or something?
Oh, I'm trying. I'm working on it, baby.
Oh, good grief. He's just,
Dave, I would vote for that.
Reverse vitiligo.
Is that something we all agree on? We both G-Man's black card.
I'll put up what Michael Jackson got.
I sent Dave three images that I want him to put up to close us out with. And I hope that I am going to be saying this this correctly. Let me get back to my thing here. Okay. From Botar, who has done fantastic fan art. I was having a really down. I'll be open with you guys. I'm never open like this, but we'll have a heart to heart. I was down a little bit yesterday because I thought that we did a really fantastic show yesterday. I mean, I left it going, you know, that was amazing. And, you know, due to a couple of really strongly worded emails from some people who have strong opinions on the person that we had on yesterday, it just kind of really sat with me wrong. And I got an email from Botar with the subject line that said fan art. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And it was fantastic. It totally reversed my mood. And so, Botar, I really appreciate you doing that. And I'm going to show you guys what he has done, but just fantastic work. And I'm not going to – Botar, I'll put your information in the description. I don't want to say it out now in case you don't want that out in the public. But we'll be more than happy to plug you for that because you did fantastic. So, Dave, whenever you get it, you can – Throw it up.
Okay, well, give me a second. Do you want me to go talk through them, or are we just going to play them and then go out? Did we lose Kyle again?
Yeah,
we lost his audio again.
Everybody do it. Everybody do it. Come on, everybody.
That's the Wakanda forever.
There we go.
somebody saved me too with my. This, it's got to be the microphone.
You did it all the way to the end almost, too. So close, man.
I got them
so
ready close. Here. Do you want me to just go through them one at a time while you talk?
Yeah, how far did I get, though?
I don't know.
What was the last thing somebody heard?
You told him to put up the picture, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So here goes, to which
he asked.
Do you want me to go through the pictures and while you talk, or do you want me to just play a slideshow and then go to the outro?
Let's just play a slideshow and go to the outro. Thank you guys for joining us again. To everyone here in the show, fantastic job. And then thank you, Botar, for a job well done on these works of art. I'm going to get this thing framed.